Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Hey, welcome back, team. Todd Doherty with the Manage Me podcast. So Saturday, November 13th, I was able to attend the Clemson University versus University of Connecticut football game at Clemson. And Clemson, 7-3, and UConn, 1-8. It wasn't a, it wasn't a pregame for UConn. Clemson beat UConn 44-7. I was fortunate enough to be there. And not surprising, but Clemson beat UConn pretty handily. But, you know, what was surprising was that people were really down on Clemson. So it was an interesting dynamic. They're there to root their team on, but they were down on Clemson. They have, their new quarterback is, going through some struggles, and many of their good players are out injured as well. And I don't mean to get into sports story or debate on favorite teams or player stats here. My point is, though, that even though Clemson is struggling, the stadium was packed. Now, not at 100%, but close, at 95%. 77,522 out of a full capacity of 81,500. Not bad. Several Clemson fans were actually apologizing to me that this wasn't a bigger and more energized crowd. They said, I need to come back on a big game day and when the teams have a more winning season and are definitely more dominant. I believe them. But if you take a look at what happened Saturday, it tells a different story. At least it does for me. I tend to look at situations from a different lens. One is that constantly looking for learning and improvement. Let me explain. Clemson has built tradition that stands strong even through some rough patches, like maybe this year. A few of these traditions and rituals are just so impactful that they're binding the fans even through a tougher season that they wanted. First off, the cheer. Right hand lifted, C-L-E-M-S-O-N. It's simple, and it sort of spontaneously happens every once in a while. I saw a little girl who I assumed had never been to a game before, and I assume this because she was pointing all over the place and asking the man she was with all sorts of questions about the field, the team, the players, what people were doing. Anyway, she picked up the cheer in a matter of minutes and jumped up every time that cheer started for the rest of the game. And by the way, this was before the team even got on the field. So speaking of that, the team entry and buildup is incredible. The buses of players circling the field as they enter, it's sort of a sign of appreciation to the fans and to really call everyone to the game. And then the run down the hill into the stadium. If you haven't seen it, you should. In 1985, against Georgia, the then CBS announcer Brent Musburger described the Tigers charging down the hill as the most exciting 25 seconds in college football. Now, this Saturday was also Military Appreciation Game, and that made it even more special with recognition of heroes and really common individuals who became heroes doing what they felt was best for their country and, of course, for all of us in that stadium by byproduct. Where am I going with all of this? What are you doing in your life? The people around you, leading your business, leading your team, what are you doing to create ritual, tradition, unwritten rules of who the team is, who the team takes care of, not just getting the job done, but how they serve a greater purpose? How do you make folks on the team feel a part of something bigger? How do you bring on someone new to the team? How do they engage? How do they feel a sense of belonging? So many people I talk to these days are questioning their purpose, their job, the reason why they are part of their current organization. This is the great resignation after all, right? Maybe if that same person felt a greater purpose on your team, in your life, etc., they would be able to separate their job, the work they do, from their purpose, the role they play in the bigger picture. And that might just keep them more engaged and motivated. Just maybe. What do you do with your teams? Do you say hello in the morning? In one of my roles as chief of staff, I made sure my leaders held roundtables. These were unscripted, small team meetings, maybe 8 to 10 people from across the business. And they came to hear from this small team about what's happening in the business. No agenda, no PowerPoint, just, hey, tell me what's going on in your business. And of all these dozens and dozens of meetings, the most poignant and brave, by the way, was when the senior executive asked the team, what could I personally do to make your job better? You know, it wasn't that much long of a silence. And a senior and well-tenured engineer on the team said, you know, your office is 8 feet from my cube. You walk by me at least 10 times a day. You don't even know my name. You don't even acknowledge that I exist. You know what you could do better? You could say, have a good night on your way out the door every once in a while. You could hear a pin drop in the room. But he was right. How hard is it to acknowledge people on your team? Just acknowledge. You probably don't realize the impact you have on the people around you. Do you practice management by walking around? You know, just get up, schedule some time in your calendar, get up, walk around. Hey, Joe, how's that project going? Hey, Mary, what, did your son win that soccer game last weekend? You know, this is some of the ritual that you could create, and it can bind people together. I know it sounds soft and fuzzy and all that stuff, but trust me, it works. Try it. You know, you might just learn about someone, the reason what they do. What is their why? You might find out that someone who's an account manager is their means to be a vet. That's a true story. Let me explain. I always tell my teams I want to help them on their way, in the business or outside the business, in any way I can, in their current role or otherwise. One time, a woman on my team, after about 9 months of me asking our one-on-ones, how can I help her? What else can I do? She just blurted out, I want to be a vet. I think we were both shocked. But what I did next seemed to stun her even more. She just didn't believe me that I would help her. I asked what she needed for me to make that happen. What do you need for me to help you get into vet school and become a vet? I looked into educational assistance, and while the company could pay for some of the basic courses, unfortunately, our policy was that it had to be a degree related to our business. But I helped her with creating some flexible days that she could leave early to go to attend class, and we worked on a budget for courses and her books. Unfortunately, I moved on to a new role about a year later, and I lost touch with her, but I really hope she finished and achieved the dream that she wanted to be. She wanted to be a vet. How do you get to the truth with your team? They need to trust you. One way that I learned is what I call the silent treatment. One of the biggest managers in my career, biggest influence on me, was Jeff Bunton. And we would have office chats. You know, we didn't really have scheduled one-on-ones. We just had office chats. He would just kind of knock on the wall because he had the office next to me and say, hey, Todd, come on over here. And, you know, truth be told, it didn't matter if I was on a phone call or, in the middle of doing something important. Jeff wanted to see me. So he didn't take no for an answer either. So we'd sit down, we'd start a chat, and he'd ask me how things are going, what's going on at home, you know, how the kids. But then he would drop the bomb. And it's all hindsight here. I didn't know it at the time, but he would drop the bomb of, hey, so what's going on with the Nashville office? And then no more talking. He would just sit there for what seemed like minutes, hours, long stretches of time. And of course, you know what happens. I start talking. I would just blurt out like, well, you know, then I'm a little late on this project and I really can't get Jane to engage with me and blah, 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 blah. And I would just talk like an Energizer bunny, and everything that I could possibly think of, I just use to fill in the time. It was brilliant. And, you know, he never used it against me. We just figured it out. But it was one of the best ways that he was able to, you know, understand what's happening and what really was the truth and how we could fix it or work on it. Work hard, play hard was one of his mottos. I had actually recently moved from Connecticut to North Carolina, and I was the new guy in the region, in the Southeast region. But I had worked with Jeff before in Connecticut, in the Northeast region. And so one early on week, I met with all of the rest of the management team down there without Jeff, and they all seemed kind of tentative. And I was sort of worried about what was, you know, what was going on. And finally, one of the guys said, hey, you know, Jeff is tough. He really like, you know, he really kind of like semi-bullies you and stuff. And like, why does he do that? And I just started cracking up because I knew Jeff. I knew him very well. And he likes to push. And I told him that if he doesn't do that with you, then you need to be worried, because he wants to engage with you and he's going to push you and he's going to ask you those tough questions and he's going to give you the silent treatment. And I explained what that was, and they got a good laugh out of it. But it was one of the best ways to engage and to truly find out what was happening with the team. So with all that in mind, how do you create a team that folks want to and even ask to be a part of? They want to come join your team because it's got traditions and rituals that bind them together. What would that team look like for you? Go build that team. And if your current culture isn't supportive of this new team environment and your rituals and your cultures, don't let that stop you. See, if you don't build it, someone on your team may go find it somewhere else. So in this job environment, you know, this great resignation, this job environment allows you to find and build different cultures. And you're either going to find that in your current company or you'll go find it somewhere else. Thanks for listening today. It's always great to share ideas and also get feedback from you. So please send me an email at managemepodcast@gmail.com. Visit my website, manageme.godaddysites.com. In both those areas, whether it's email or website, you can send me questions, you can refer me to sponsors, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to have you as a guest. I'd love to hear your thoughts around whether the guests we're having and the topics we're having are working for you, and would love to hear anything that you'd like to hear on the upcoming podcast. Thanks again for listening, and appreciate it.